If you've ever waited for a home or office renovation to be completed, you know this. Work always seems to continue until the very end. Last week, there was still some minor work to be completed and details to be tweaked at Vol Walker Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. The building has undergone a renovation and has had new space added, the Stephen L. Anderson Design Center, in the past few years. Though students, staff, and faculty moved in with the arrival of the fall semester, the formal introduction of the new space is tomorrow. Vol Walker Hall was first opened more than 70 years ago as the University of Arkansas Library. For the last 40 years, it's had its current role as the home of the Fay Jones School of Architecture at the U of A. Last week, just 7 days before the formal dedication, the lead architects for the project, Marlon Blackwell and Mark Herman, gave a preview tour of the older and newer parts of the space. I asked Marlon Blackwell, who was on the faculty at the school, if he had any qualms about being the architect for a project that was for architects.
Here we are designing a project for critics. So the first thing you do is you ignore all their criticism. We just put our heads down as a team and worked and did what we, I think, do best, which is not only the generation of an idea or ideas, but the execution of the ideas.
He says the project is an example of what it is to make commentary and what it is to demonstrate how that commentary can be useful. Blackwell says a significant part of the approach was to consider how the work would contribute to the University of Arkansas campus.
The campus has its own set of issues. We felt like we could help solve some of these. One of these was the main axis that runs from Arkansas all the way to the football stadium that has never been fully utilized because of the book stacks that when this was a library kind of blocked you off, you had to go around it. So opening that up, which in effect allows the university to interface with us now, they can actually walk through it.
The architects say the building is, of course, for the students. Marlon Blackwell says there was a desire to make the space itself a teaching tool, to offer an example of how early 20th century building and design techniques compare and complement those of the early 21st century and vice versa. He says the architecture team wanted to show that the DNA of each era can be found in both. Mark Herman, an alumnus of the Fay Jones School and an architect with Polk Stanley Wilcox, says there was also an overwhelming need to increase the studio space available to students. He says the use of post-tension concrete in the new part allowed for fewer columns and much larger spans.
And as you see, as we go up into the second and third floors, you really get these wide open spaces to work with. That promotes the way that that the school wants to teach the studios. You'll see architecture, interior, and landscape all mixed in the same studio with no walls between.
One of the wide open spaces Mark and Marlon wanted to improve is one floor up from the main floor, a large gallery area that Marlon calls the central nerve center of Vol Walker. It's where, for decades, the major critiques of students in the college have happened. He says they wanted to keep the neoclassical atmosphere and details in this grand room, but give it an upgrade. He says the room long has suffered from poor lighting and poor acoustics.
So the way we resolved that was bringing in natural light from
north, south, and center.
North, south, and center, and developing a beautiful red oculus, what we look like, I could call a retoculus, that goes directly to the sky. So we take the sky, we bring it into the space. And of course, with red, sometimes it's red, sometimes it's purple. So we talk about the ever-changing dynamism of light, another teaching opportunity, right? And this is one piece of glass, 8 feet wide by 20 feet long. So totally uninterrupted with your view to the clouds and the sky.
The natural light that enters from this skylight is complemented by even artificial lighting from above, a series of bulbs covered by an acoustic fabric. Again, Marlon Blackwell.
So it's like a 2,500 square foot lampshade, probably one of the biggest installations of this in the country.
Yeah.
And it has resolved all our lighting problems. It gives even lighting throughout the room.
The sound has improved as well. Acoustic paneling has helped deaden the room. Mark Herman says there's no better way to prove that than walking from the hallway outside the grand space and crossing the threshold.
Step into the room and notice how the acoustics change when we cross over into this. It's really dramatic the way the sound just changes.
And this is this was done by one of our own professors who's an acoustic expert, Dr. Tara Mersatti. Did all the acoustics for this and also did a lot of the daylighting for our Brissolet along the west elevation.
The new design center allowed the architects to create new opportunities for faculty and students. There are small rooms tucked away that can be used for eating or resting, a new theater that has room for more than 200 people, and two state-of-the-art projectors. The theater's seats and walls are bathed in red, not so much a nod to the ubiquitous Razorback accents all over campus, but a connection to the school's namesake.
Red is closely associated with Frank Lloyd Wright, who was the mentor and teacher of Faye Jones. And if you know Faye Jones, he was, always had the kind of red as part of his moniker. And so we just kind of pull that thread on through a little bit.
The older side of Vol Walker does maintain its neoclassical feel, even with the modern technological inserts that have been added. The walls and the columns have heft. The new Stephen L. Anderson Design Center, by contrast, feels lighter and more open. Glass hallways allow people to see across an entire section of the building. Windows practically place a viewer out of doors, seamless with the end of the wall. Marlon Blackwell says this is a zero-edge approach.
It's another way of detailing, right, where in the old way you added moldings and things to cover joints. Here we try to look at how we can transition from one material or one edge almost seamlessly, like it's like it's been shrunk wrapped.
The blending of inside and outside is subtle in most of the space. At the top, the mixture is an outright feature. The new side of the structure includes a green roof and has room for another should funding develop, and a combination classroom and patio called the Sky Terrace might just provide the best views of the Boston Mountains on campus. A large white wall can be used to project images for a lecture or presentation, and the open-air walls let a breeze blow through. Mark Herman says more hidden lighting provides appropriate illumination.
This is another space that changes dramatically when the sun sets. What you'll get is there's an artificial light in this large skylight here that basically pushes light onto this white wall here. It bounces off that wall and fills the space. There's also some small lights in these light slots, which look great from the outside. But when you're in here, there's no lights in the ceiling. So you just get this glow.
Primarily staff, students, and faculty will use most of the spaces in Vol Walker, but a new exhibit hall will be able to extend the connection of the people inside to the rest of the campus. Before expansion, there was very limited room to exhibit student work to the public, or any room, really, to show a visiting exhibit to the public. Blackwell says most traveling exhibits require about 1,200 square feet. The new exhibit gallery has about 2,500 feet. And a glass wall on the west side will welcome outside attention to the art on the inside.
So we have an exhibition terrace.
And just how passersby consider the new Vol Walker Hall was taken into consideration as well.
One of the things we realized pretty early is that the east side, the very formal, symmetrical side, one approaches on axes, right? And you have space to do that. Here we're very compressed between Mullins and the new addition, so it's really about the oblique. So we really kind of set up ways to understand the building from an angle rather than from front on, head on.
A walking approach from the western side of the building reveals a large continuous window covered with thin slices of angled glass. These fins keep the interior cool and provide a sleek wedge of art to the outside world. To achieve LEED status, the architecture team used locally made materials as they were able and would not venture too far away from the site when local materials couldn't be used. Mark Herman says they were pushed when they wanted to match new and old exteriors.
We wanted to use the exact same stone that they used 70 years ago on our building. We did the calculations. We found a quarry that was within 50 miles of the original quarry in Indiana, down in southwest Indiana. Falls within our 500-mile radius for LEED criteria. And so we have actual stone that's quarried within 50 miles of the original stone, using it 70 years later.
The dedication for the reopening of Vol Walker Hall and the Stephen L. Anderson Design Center on the University of Arkansas campus is tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. The University of Arkansas Library Special Collection has put together both a digital and physical exhibit about Vol Walker Hall. The physical exhibit is inside Mullins Library and will remain up through January. You can find a link to the digital collection at our website, OzarksAtLarge.com, and also at our website a bit more from the architects about some of the amenities in the new and old parts of the Faye Jones School of Architecture.